So as you can probably gather, the topic this morning is love. So just before I start, I've got two pictures, and I think, Henry, if you get the mic. The first one, does anybody know who this person is? Anybody want to take a guess at who this person is? We're going back to about World War II time. Anybody want to take a guess? Okay, this first person is Oskar Schindler. Oskar Schindler was a German Nazi who, in World War II, had unconditional love for the Jewish people. He made them workers in his factory. At the end of the war, Schindler saved 12,000 Jews. And when he was fleeing Germany after the war, if you've ever seen Schindler's List, which is based on the true story and based on Oscar's words, he breaks down in tears and he says, I could have saved one more, and I didn't. He was made righteous in about 1971 by Israel and currently has a tree planted in Jerusalem, and that is also where he is buried. I wonder, can anybody tell me who this person is? I've got a hand up over there. Yes, so that second person is Sir Nicholas Winston. Nicholas Winston is dubbed as the British Schindler. The reason for this is because Nicholas Winston showed unconditional love and saved 669 children from Czechoslovakia to Britain, most of them Jewish. On the eve of the World War II, in an operation later known as Czech Kinder Transport, he arranged homes for them in the UK, and he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in 2003. And then on the 28th of October 2014, he was awarded the highest honour in the Czech Republic, the Order of the White Lion First Class, by Czech President Miloš Zeman. Unfortunately, Nicholas died a few years ago. So where am I going with this? Well, the Greek word for love is agape, meaning unconditional. In unconditional love, every person exactly like Christ does. The reason I actually chose that reading for this morning was because that's a perfect example of the love of God. I had a conversation with Bethan actually a couple of weeks ago on a Monday night when we were sitting in the car and on comes Reckless Love in the background. And we were discussing the topic and it suddenly hit me. We don't deserve the love and grace of God, yet he still gives it to us. Yet he still opens his heart. He still says, I love you. And I want a relationship with you. Dammy, can you just do me a favor? Can you put on the video for me? Guys, can you just pay attention to the screen for me? This is Corey Ashby explaining what he means by the word reckless.
Man, he's that good. I want to just read a couple thoughts, just share a little bit of the story behind this song, and then we'll sing that bridge one more time and we'll go nuts. We'll see what happens. So when I use the phrase, the reckless love of God, when we say it, we're not saying that God himself is reckless. He's not crazy. We are, however, saying that the way he loves is, in many regards, quite so. But what I mean is this. He's utterly unconcerned with the consequences of his actions with regard to his own safety, comfort, and well-being. His love isn't crafty or slick. It's not cunning or shrewd. In fact, all things considered, it's quite childlike. And might I even suggest sometimes downright ridiculous. His love bankrupted heaven for you, for me. His love doesn't consider himself first. It isn't selfish or self-serving. He doesn't wonder what he'll gain or lose by putting himself on the line. He simply puts himself out there on the off chance that you and I might look back at him and give him that love in return. His love leaves the 99 to find the one every time. And to many practical adults, that's a foolish concept. But what if he loses the 99 and finding the one, right? What if? Finding that one lost sheep is and will always be supremely important. His love isn't cautious. It's a love that sent his own son to die a gruesome death on a cross. There's no plan B with the love of God. He gives his heart so completely, so preposterously, that if refused, we would think it irreparably broken. Yet he gives himself away again and again and again and again, time and time again. Make no mistake, our sins do pain his heart, and 70 times 7 is a lot of times to get your heart broken. And yet he opens up and allows us back in every single time. His love saw you when you hated him, and all logic said they'll reject me. He said, no, I don't care what it costs me. I lay my life on the line as long as I get their hearts. To make it personal, his love saw me, a broken down kid with regret as deep as the ocean. My innocence and youth poured out like water. And he found me and he put me on his shoulders. And he carried me on. Because he's just that good. He's just that kind. He's a father that never gives up. So as we sing this bridge and chorus one more time, just let it.
He leaves the 99 to find the one. This is where it all began. This is where it began. He took 3 nails, a wooden cross, and 9 to 12 hours just for you and just for me. He doesn't care where you're coming from. He doesn't care about where people on the street are coming from. He just opens up because he says, I want a relationship with you. I want to love you. I want to hold you. So right now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. And Becky's just going to come up and explain the response session that we're about to have. And then we'll go into a little bit more depth after that. So, what does this mean for us today? Well, if you join with me, look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they've seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen, and he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Now, we've heard over the last 2 weeks about love, discipleship, fellowship. You see, we love others and we love each other because God chose to first love us. We have to get back to that root of our first love, which was paid on the cross. We're called to love each other and we're called to love the stranger. Brothers and sisters, if we don't love each other and we don't love God, how can we then go out of the doors and love the people on the streets? John Allen Turner said this when it comes to love. it's hard to convince people that the God they can't see loves them when the church they can see doesn't seem to like them. That's pretty hard-hitting. When the church they can see doesn't seem to like them. And I pondered on this quote. And then I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. And it hit me. How can I love somebody else and show the love of God to them if I haven't got back to the root of why I love God? And then I need to go back even more and do some for forgiveness. Because if I have not forgiven those who have wronged me, and we have not forgiven those who have wronged us, we cannot progress in our ministry. You see, the church is here to be that place where we welcome each other with open arms. And then I came back to Corey's quote. And I realized that even I have got it wrong. Even I have fallen short of that grace and love that was given to me upon the cross. Because we are a united body, we are a church, we are one person. So when one part of the body isn't working, then the body isn't functioning. And that's where it comes to the one. We are saved, but we are then called to go out into the community and love the one who isn't in the 99. And God does it all the time. As Corey said, he simply gives himself away on the off chance that one of us might look back at him and offer ourselves in return. I love that quote. I absolutely love Corey's quote because it demonstrates and explains the love of God better than I can put it. So here's my challenge to you, to myself, to the church as a body. Are we willing to stand in the gap and love the people around us like the Father loves us? And are we willing to live for Jesus and to love our neighbor as ourselves? And will you keep praying for the people who are lost and in the need of God's love?